Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
You like fantasy sports and sarcasm, then I shall not make myself start to spasm. They could even call some of you to orgasm. It's the Razzball Podcast. Well, you have several choices, only one talking yes, and I'm already a Moises. You might be yourself, just like your name was Moises. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Razzball Baseball Podcast. I am your host, Nick Capozzi, and we're joined today by the kings of the fantasy baseball industry. That's right, I called it an industry, Rudy Gamble and Gray Albright. Gentlemen, how are you today?
Thanks. Yeah, we're like the Don King and Rodney King of the fantasy baseball world.
We're like the Burger King.
Or the LA Kings, second round.
Or Regina King, who brought her sass to things like 227 and Jerry Maguire.
Oh, don't get me started.
ObscureReferences.com.
Make them show you the money.
Hey, I got a question. Gray, how was your rafting trip in Florida last week?
It was good. I'm back in the States right now. I got deported out of Cuba. First person ever.
But I thought you were in Florida last week.
I said I didn't like the Marlins, and they got rid of me.
Did they send you on a raft, or were we able to take a Greyhound?
The reverse of whatever Ozzy said about Castro goes on in Cuba. If you say anything bad about the Marlins, they get rid of you.
Well, it's good to have you back. We're very excited again to play Guess the Bus Route Bingo, so that's going to be good to have that back. And so let's get moving with this podcast. Let's get right into baseball. I know it's not at the top of the list, but I think it's somewhere we need to go right away. What's up with Evan Longoria and his hamstring?
Why is he
fucking stealing a base? That's what I want to know. They got Desmond Jennings, Zobrist, Upton. Christ, everyone on their team can steal a base. Really? They need to send Longoria? Fucking bullshit. I hate that he's hurt.
We only had him in like a 15-team labor league and in our cash league. So, yeah, only the two most important leagues we're in.
Yeah.
We have Ian Stewart to back him up in labor, so we should just be fine.
Rudy, you
did.
Is he mini donkey?
He's just
an ass.
Mini. Yeah, it's just a jackass.
We got a fucking jackass playing third base.
I read somewhere Longoria will be less inclined to steal when he returns.
No shit.
Yeah, really? That's fascinating. I would have never thought of that. I don't even want them putting on the hit and run. And I'm not talking about putting the runner in motion. I'm saying when he's hitting, someone else should be running.
I thought you're supposed to be like, I thought it was like safer to slide feet first. He's the only idiot who gets injured sliding feet first, stealing a base. Everyone else goes head first and they yell at him.
You know, I'm just going to suggest
that you can't have amateurs stealing bases.
I think
leave it to the pros.
I think if this podcast is really going to evolve and take the next step, you guys have to tell us how you really feel about something. Stop holding back.
We have Longoria on some important teams, and hey, you know what? At least we got some healthy. We got some good excuses now.
Yeah, nice. Well, oh yeah, the positive is I have Elliot Johnson stashed away in my AL 12 team. Elliot Johnson, if you're an AL-12 team and you really, really need stolen bases,
wasn't he on the Detroit Pistons? Elliot Johnson.
That was the microwave.
Elliot Johnson, I don't know if he's like the toaster.
he eats up,
steals a base.
He eats up, and if you leave him alone, he starts a fire.
It's true. It's like he hasn't been able to. Yeah, he's not as good as Sean Rodriguez, and he's slightly better than Reed Brignac, who I think is the worst hitter in like above AA. There might be. I think there's one other guy. The Red Sox brought up that guy, Jose Iglesias.
Jose Iglesias
supposedly can't hit.
If your league has a web gem category, grab Jose Iglesias right now.
Yeah. You know what's great about this podcast too? I just have to say,
I can't believe Longoria's out for 2 months.
I say Jose Iglesias ends the year with less hits than Enrique Iglesias had in his career, which I think is 3.
To all the fancy baseballers I loved before.
That's his dad.
That's Enrique. Julio.
Enrique is the one with the mole and Anna Kournikova.
Oh, man. On top of Longoria getting hurt, I just got a text message from an ex-girlfriend that she just had a baby. Yay! Thanks for telling me. I'm going to now walk into traffic.
You told me what you were texting her, though. You asked for pictures of her milk engorged breasts.
Yeah, I asked her if she named the kid Fonzie. What do I care if she had a kid? Why are you telling me?
Did the kid come out with a mustache?
Are still healing.
Did the kid come out with a mustache?
That's my kid.
All right, so 6 to 8 weeks for Longoria and his hammy hamstring. With a hamstring, though, there's always a chance that it could go longer than the 2 months. So are we just stuck?
If they said pulled hamstring, I'd feel that, when they say partially tore, like,
right.
That's brutal. I'm picturing like Edgar Martinez and Ken Griffey Jr. when they had, they had massive tears, I guess. But I guess Jose Reyes tore his hamstring last year and he came back. Or was it a year?
That was 2 years ago. That was when he missed 100 games.
Oh, yeah, so get Longoria next year. There you go.
You'll get him. You'll get him cheap next
year. He's going to win the batting title next year.
At the expense of us, you're going to do well next year. Thing.
All right, now that all the Evan Longoria owners have jumped off the bridge, let's talk about something positive and upbeat and exciting, because I think there's a bet that has been settled here, and I believe that Mr. Rudy correctly predicted that Mike Trout would be up before Bryce Harper, and was actually, they were called up the same day, but I think Trout was called up earlier in the day.
Rudy was totally right about it. He had the date way closer than I had it, so I give it to Rudy.
I think we were both off. Oh, no, we said the same date on Harper. Oh, wait, did I go one day later? Yeah. I price is right.
Yeah, your price is right.
So we both overbid. It doesn't count.
No one wins the showdown.
It's a Jan 1. I did my $1 bid.
Now, speaking of leagues with web gem categories, holy Harper's arm. But, did you see that throw he made to the plate in the Dodger game?
What's that?
Did you see the throw that Bryce Harper made to the plate in the Dodger
game? Yeah. The one that Wilson Ramos dropped.
Paul.
Yeah. Did you see the...
It's tough for... catchers aren't used to catching fastballs thrown into their mitt. It's really tough.
When he sees base runners coming at him, he sees kidnappers. He's like, oh, shit, I'm getting the hell out of here. Did you see the moonshot on Bryce Harper's
with the ball,
first hit?
The what's that?
Nick, did you see the moonshot on Bryce Harper's first hit?
I did, actually, where the young gentleman mooned behind home plate. That was classy.
That's awesome. I can't wait until that's in Cooperstown. Bryce Harper's first hit and someone's mooning in the background.
All right, let me ask you this question.
Did they have eye black on their ass?
I made a smiley face.
I hope that's eye black.
Oh man, let me
ask you a question. I realize it's hard to quantify what they'll do this year, who will be the better hitter. So let me project this over 10 years. Who would you rather own today in a 5x5 league, Trout or Harper? Rudy, go first.
Wait, career or this year?
Career.
Harper.
Gray?
Harper's got crazy power.
I like to do the FMK. Fuck, marry, or kill. I'm going to marry Harper, fuck Trout, and kill Robert Irvine.
The guy for the Kitchen Confidential guy?
Yeah, just because he's annoying. I think Harper's going to have a much better career, but I don't think he's really worth... he's not worth dropping anyone too important right now. I think he's
getting sent down.
Yeah, I think he's going to get sent down. But Mike Trout, I think, he's the real deal right now. I think he
unless
can get,
he gets in sociopath's doghouse.
Yeah, I think Trout could get 10 homers and 25 steals this year,
and hit close to 300.
And hit 270 maybe. I mean, not kill you on average.
Yeah, I have a feeling. I think Trout's not gonna. He's gonna have a tough time showing the power. I could see even like 5 homers, but he's gonna have the speed. He's gonna have the average, he'll have decent average. He'll definitely have the speed.
Okay.
It just sucks for. It sucks for Borjos until the Angels wise up and drop Vernon Wells.
Yeah.
What I'm calling July 1st.
I'm gonna say Jan 1.
Or what they can do is they can trade Borjos for some age regression therapy for Albert Pujols, because speaking of the Los Angeles Angels of Orange County by Ontario Airport of Malibu, where's the power for Albert Pujols?
It's stashed under a La Russa How to Be a Better Pita Person pamphlet. I don't know. I'd say Pujols could hit 10 homers in a month though, so I'm not concerned.
I think La Russa created Pujols with his own hands like a golem. And now without his master he has nothing. All the projection services and everything I worked had like Pujols pretty much like number one, and I know we're not the only ones. A lot of people had like a pit in their stomach about drafting Pujols this year, because last year was it started showing the warts, and there was just that concern that you never want to be the one who has him on the super down year. But he's just seems to be hacking a lot more than he ever did. He swings at a lot of stuff out of the zone. He seems he's lost right now.
I mean, you got to be concerned if you're the Angels, because it's year one of a 27-year contract.
I don't know. I think Pujols really could hit 10 homers in a month and be right back on a 30-homer pace. I don't know. It's still early. I'm not saying. Yeah, I mean, maybe he only hits 275 this year. I mean, he was under 300 for the first time last year, so maybe, I don't know, maybe he's on the downswing a little bit, but I still think he'll get somewhat close to his numbers. I'd buy him if I can get him for the cheap enough right now.
Right.
What would cheap enough be, like straight up for Konerko? with a little sweetener in there?
With a little donkey corn sweetener? Yeah, I definitely would trade him for Konerko. I'd do that in a second. I'd trade him, I don't know, I'm seriously concerned about Stanton right now, so I'd probably take Pujols over Stanton.
Yeah, it's like...
I don't want to talk about Stanton. Stanton is my Evan Longoria this year. I have him in every league, and he's just killing me. And then I bench him, and he hits a home run.
Remember, it used to be that when they built new stadiums, they were... like each new stadium was like easier to hit homers than the next, and then at some point it stopped somewhere around San Diego and Minnesota.
I don't know why that is too, because they got rid of steroids and then they're making giant stadiums. I mean, you lose steroids and then make stadiums smaller, which seems would make the most sense.
Well, it could be the small market teams trying to maximize their dollars on pitching and defense, but what do I know?
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe we should get Selig on the podcast.
I asked him, but he didn't like all my Wisconsin area sausage jokes. So,
right.
Speaking of sausage,
and did you guys get an argument over the price of a used car?
Wait, hold on.
I'll give you $4,000 for the Jetta. That's my max offer.
Wait a minute. I like when anyone starts a sentence with "Speaking of sausage." Nick, please continue.
We actually got an email this week. Our very first email, and I felt like we should read it. It's from Alyssa from Los Angeles. Says she's a big Dodgers fan. And she said, Nick, I know you like to cook. I was wondering if you had a recipe for Italian sausage and meatballs. So, we do.
Oh, God. Poor Alyssa Milano. What did she ever do to you?
I know.
How do you know it's Alyssa Milano? You think it's Alyssa Milano?
Because she's the only one that named Alyssa that loves sausage more than any other Alyssa in the world.
It's Los Angeles. Every second girl is named Alyssa. Or Brittany.
No, Brittany.
Amber.
Yeah. Duchette.
Speaking of power outages, how come Andrew McCutchen has yet to hit a home run? He's having a nice season. There's just no power so far.
It's just it's a bad time to be in Pittsburgh for offense.
for anything. You don't want to be in Pittsburgh ever.
It is a great place if you want to get, you know, baked beans from the factory store. Some things never change, Gray.
Hey, there's some good things out of Pittsburgh.
But it's ridiculous. He had like no. It took him like 10 games to get an RBI, even though he's hitting like 320 or 330. I think McCutchen's. I thought he was going to take another step up on power this year. Maybe it's just another. You know, I do think he has real power, not the rumored 20 plus homer power that Carl Crawford and Jose Reyes have that never materialized.
Right.
I do see McCutchen being like a 30 home run hitter. But at this point, I think as an owner of him, we have him, I think, in one league. I'd take somewhere between 20 and 25 as long as the RBIs are coming and he keeps that average up.
Okay, fair enough. Gray, I want to ask you a question. I own Steven Strasburg in a bunch of leagues. So he's at, you know, 30-some-odd innings right now, which is, let's just say, roughly one-fifth of his assumed inning cap for the season. He has to be the top of the market. Would it be a good time to flip him just because that inning cap will at some point will factor in? Is he at the height of his value, or are you better holding him for the extra 130 innings you're going to get out of him?
What are you going to flip him for?
Well, a bat. I mean, his numbers have been outstanding.
I'd flip him for a first-round bat if you can get it. Like, I actually, there was someone on the site who commented that they flipped him for McCutchen. I don't think that's a bad trade-off. I don't think right now is the optimal time to be selling him, though. If you just drafted him, you knew there was going to be an innings cap, and you're selling him May 1, I'd wait until at least June to start worrying about selling him. And even then, I mean, 150 really good innings, even in a redraft league, it's not the worst thing in the world.
Listen, that's fair. I only ask it because, if McCutchen... I mean, McCutchen's actually probably the measuring stick, right?
Yeah, McCutchen's, I think, a good trade-off for Strasburg, if you can get it. I don't necessarily think Strasburg is someone that everyone knows he's going to have an innings limit. Unless you're playing, you know, in a friends and family league and your friends and family are kind of stupid. I don't know. I mean, if you can sell him for a good price, like any trade, sure, do it. I wouldn't sell him for, you know, 50 cents on the dollar, though.
Okay. Rudy, anything on that?
No, I agree.
Okay. Go ahead. Rudy...
Yeah, no, I'm with it. I agree on that one. I didn't have to add too much. I like Strasburg. I wouldn't trade him except if I was getting something really good in return.
Okay, Rudy, I want to bring up two names for you that we've talked about recently. So we have discussed these two guys recently, Tim Lincecum and Chris Davis, who are both, well, Lincecum's looked to have figured it out, and Chris Davis is having a great season, maybe a post-high sleeper. You buying Lincecum and Chris Davis?
Well, no, I'm not buying Lincecum. I mean, we have him in one league, and that's probably one league too much. He's had a good start or two, but his fastball's still not there. I saw somewhere, I read online, so attributed to someone. I was reading a bunch of stuff on Lincecum, and I think the big challenge with him is if his fastball is going to be 90 versus 92, there's a pretty big difference in effectiveness. So I think Lincecum will be good this year, but I think he'll be the third best pitcher on the Giants. Okay, is the way after Bumgarner and Kane, in some order. So I buy him at the right price, but I'm not buying the latest starter too. I'm hoping, but okay. I'm not really buying.
And what about Chris Davis?
Yeah, I think he had another homer today. I don't know. I mean, he's had one good half in 2.5 years. No, I wouldn't trade for him. But if he was on waivers, yeah, I would have totally picked him up to replace Longoria.
Well, I think...
Or Alvarez I would have picked up. I don't care.
Oh,
just someone with a glimmer of, past prospect glory I would have taken.
So speaking of guys that may be on the waiver wire, with Delmon Young beating up panhandlers allegedly on the street, he's actually been suspended for 7 days, but dropped in a ton of leagues. So I actually picked him up off waivers in an AL-only league today. Is he worth grabbing in deeper leagues?
I don't know. He wasn't even playing well. He wasn't even hitting when before his outburst. I don't know if you heard, but his run-in with the law came exactly 6 years after the bat-throwing incident.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, things that make you go,
Bring out the Delmons and bring out the anti-Semitism.
he was spewing anti-Semitism. You know what would be good? Lethal Weapon 5 with Mel Gibson and Delmon Young. they could go after the 15 Jews that run the world.
Give me back my son!
I need my insulin for my brother, Meat Hook.
I lived in New York for 10 years. There are no panhandlers with yarmulkes. I think he was framed. I don't know. Maybe it was like, maybe someone in Minnesota was pissed how well he did after they traded him. I think Delmon was framed.
That's why I did say allegedly.
Counting change, and he just mistook it.
I don't know.
Okay.
I think where we started before that, our tangent was, I didn't like Delmon Young before this, I don't like him after this, and that's not just as a person, but I don't think he's that good of player for fantasy baseball purposes.
Okay, let's keep this train moving.
AL only league, sure. I wouldn't even want him in I don't think he'll even be useful in a 15 team league because I don't know how much Detroit's going to want to play him. I mean, that town's been, very pro-Jew since the days of Hank Greenberg.
That's the on the bumper stickers in Pittsburgh. At least you're not in Detroit.
Oh, that's terrible.
I mean, Ty Cobb didn't like Jews, but he didn't like anybody.
Yeah, you need to spread the hate around, Delmon. Come on.
Okay. So let's try and keep this train on the tracks. Gray, I'll go back to religion though. Here's the yin and yang of Gray Albright right here. I'll sum it up right now. Pedro Alvarez is hot, and Anibal Sanchez is looking sexy.
Pedro Alvarez is doing really well.
I know.
I told you. What did I say last year? I said he's going to be great this year.
Yeah, that helped.
A technicality, I didn't say if it was going to be that season. 12 months from last year, we're still in that time frame.
But is it real?
yeah, no, but I'd pick him up.
Throw him a curveball.
His K rate is ridiculous.
All you do is throw him curveballs.
Yeah.
He's Pedro Serrano.
Pedro Serrano. He can't hit any he can't hit anything but the fastball. I should have asked
Corbin Burnson about him last week.
I think Pedro Alvarez is a great pickup for right now, and at some point he's going to start, he's just going to keep striking out and hit 170.
But you're right.
I think he needs more seasoning or more minor leagues or something. He needs more seasoning
or more basting or more time in the oven or something. But Pedro Alvarez is, I don't know.
And Pedro Alvarez is all right for right now. That's about it. I wouldn't go further than that.
Okay, so what about Anibal? I only bring up Anibal to make you feel better.
to inflate my ego? I already think I'm a master fantasy baseball expert.
In the industry.
Put my name up in lights and write myself a Wikipedia page like Carson Castillo or whatever his name is. That guy, oh my god, his Wikipedia page is ridiculous.
Hey, when are the new t-shirts coming out, by the way?
Was he on Fangraphs?
Yeah, the Fangraphs. Was it Carson Castillo or something? His Wikipedia page is longer than the Crimean War's Wikipedia page.
Hey, when are the new t-shirts coming out, by the way?
I don't know. I emailed the t-shirt guy today. We'll see. I was on a raft for the last 10 days. I'm sorry.
Because that's what we should have.
Yeah, Annabelle looks great. Thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome, Razzball Nation.
Yeah, that was 14 Ks his last outing.
He
had an awful first inning, and then he just, it was like they got him mad. Came Hannibal the Cannibal and just started K-ing people.
That's what you should do in new stadiums. You should handcuff elite pitchers and elite hitters. When you don't know how the stadium is going to play out.
Yeah. Well, avoid the hitters, yeah.
So
no, I think it pays to have, like, next time there's a new stadium being built, we are going to go make some architect friends. and get the inside dish, and then we'll tell everyone who to draft.
Either that or we'll steal the plans like Mike Brady or whatever it was and change the stadium. Why does this field look like a wiffle ball stadium? I don't know.
Who put in the Bad News Bears left field fence in Florida? I like Stanton. Don't screw up Stanton.
Oh, that looks like an easy pop-up. No, it's a home run.
Right, and it must be brutal. I mean, it's one thing. It's a tough stadium that homers. You feel for it. But then Omar Infante starts hitting homers. Yesterday, like, Austin Kearns hits a homer. It's like, yeah, that's just wrong. It's like the pitchers are collaborating and, like, grooving pitches for the light hitting guys just to get in Stanton's head.
Omar Infante has five times as many homers as Stanton.
Oh. So speaking of homers or lack thereof, Brandon Morrow has been pitching fantastic so far this year for the Blue Jays, but his K rate is way down. Rudy, two questions. A, has he figured it out finally? And B, will the Ks come back?
The A is that he's definitely a smarter pitcher. He's changed up his pitching. He's throwing. He's mixing in more breaking pitches during when runners are on. He's not challenging people just with the four-seam fastball, and he's throwing more down in the zone. He's consciously doing it, and I am finding it kind of disconcerting hearing all these pitchers speak like they write on Fangraphs. Last year was like Charlie Morton, and before that was like Brian Bannister, and neither of those two have good track records. But it does seem like Morrow is gone from a pitcher, a thrower to a pitcher. He's not going to be Kang. The way he's pitching out, he's not K-ing 10 per 9 again. But his stuff's too good. I got to imagine he'll end up somewhere like 7 Ks per 9. So maybe he'll be on pace for something like 160, 170 strikeouts versus 200.
Well,
if he can get like a full 200 innings. But right now, I mean, the improvements in control, so his ERA, his whip, are great. So I have him in the RCL league, and I was just drafting him for K-porn, but I'll take this version of Brandon Morrow as well.
Okay, cool. Greg, you...
I don't know. I have my issues with the whole pitching to contact thing. Morrow is the... was a 4-walk rate guy, right, before this. So he couldn't locate the ball before. So now he's throwing the ball where he knows people are going to hit it, but not hit it well. I don't see how that's possible. I think he's getting lucky right now, or he's going to either start K-ing people again, but there's no way he's going to be able to pitch the contact and keep his ERA low and keep his walks low. Something has got to give. To borrow a terrible expression from an awful movie. So I don't know. He's pitching the contact.
Hey, maybe he just found a nice Canadian girl.
Yeah, I don't buy it. No. I don't see. I'm worried about
Gray on spring break.
So I noticed last week, guys, just the other day, actually, in your 15-team labor league, on Fab, you picked up Jared Parker over Drew Smyly. Now, I know we talked about Parker last week, but I'm more curious why you picked him over Smyly, because Smiley's been off to a wicked hot start.
Yeah, that one...
Remy.
We were big... We just kind of had bought in on Parker. I mean, it was... We love pitchers in, like, Oakland, Seattle, San Diego, Florida, yeah. But you know, when you're looking at your, even in a 15 league, you know, someone like Parker and Smyly are lower down in your rotation, and to have at least, you know, half those starts be in a safe stadium are helpful. Not that Detroit's a big hitter park, but we like that more about Parker. And I don't know, I think he is pitching better this year. He seems to, you know, have kind of changed some of his mentality. His first start was really good. That did probably have some influence. I think he had the Tommy John surgery. I think when you have something that big as a Tommy John surgery, I think pitchers come out of it with a renewed sense of vigor, an optimism. And some other crap that I'm just making up off the top of my head. But to try to justify, we took Parker over Smyly.
Smyly is his left on base percentage right now is
100%.
Yeah, it's 100%. So I don't think that he's going to sustain that. I think he could keep up near the K's, probably drop about one or two, but he's at 9, I think, on a K rate. So Smyly... I like Smyly. I don't mind him, but Parker feels a little bit safer, and we wanted a little bit safer for that league. We didn't go for Smyly.
Plus, you can't trust a guy who can sign his name with an emoticon.
It's true. We're big fans of his dad, Guy. I grew up with him on Sesame Street.
I have a 2-year-old. I watch Sesame Street multiple times a day.
And that's Jared awesome. Parker just finished up and started at Fenway. 6 2/3, 1 earned run.
Wow.
That's not bad.
Yeah, but it was against the Red Sox. So, I mean,
yeah. Tell that to Tommy Malone. Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
So, here's a guy that I dug up who's been hot lately. He's got a couple of slamming eggs on the go. Michael Saunders from Seattle. And I understand all the Seattle bias you guys have. But he does have 3 homers, 3 steals on the year. He's got some sneaky runs there. Is he a sleeper to go 2020 maybe? Because he's only 2% owned.
Yeah,
he looks like he reminds me a bit of the big frat goo, Franklin Gutierrez, right, with the, you know, barely 2020 potential. I think, you know, the problem is owning a guy who's like 17-17, 2020, like barely 2020 potential. Over the course of a season, in most leagues, becomes difficult to have the patience to own them. You know, usually you're like, Saunders gets to 2020 by the end of the season. That's great to own. But when you're looking at 3 homers and 3 steals per month, and then you see Ty Wigginton hit 3 homers in a week, you're like, I kind of want to go with Ty Wigginton. Yeah. I don't know.
No, that's fair.
I like maybe Sunders a bit more than you. I've had him 2 years straight now on at least one AL team, because he's, you know, I think last year, you know, it looked like he might have, you know, busted out last year. He was looking good in spring training, and it just didn't materialize. He K's too much. He was just a huge average drain. While he had, like, and basically the same thing happened last year that happened this year in terms of Gutierrez gets hurt. He's hitting well. My biggest concern with him is average drain, and when Gutierrez comes back, does he have issues with playing time? So while he's playing right now, I think he'd be a fine 14-team outfielder. At 12-team, I don't think he's a strong play right now.
Okay, fair enough. One more hitter to talk about, and then we'll go to the we'll wrap up with a section that regularly scars me, the bullpens. But just quickly, I know last week you guys were big on Tony Campana, but now with
love him.
Listen, he hit 330 in the minors over his career. Bird is gone. I mean, could he be this year's D. Gordon? Could he swipe 50, 60
Campana.
Bags?
Campana steals like the wind. Wasn't that a Patrick Swayze song? Steals like the wind. Isn't it?
Yeah, no, it was. I believe it was She's Like the Wind, but I think that'd be a pretty good, you know.
It's pretty close. If Swayze was alive and he owned Tony Campana, he would be singing Steals Like the Wind.
I mean, with Tony Campana, I think you would have went with more of a Scarface reference.
I can't do impersonations.
I didn't say you had to do an image.
I never said I could do impersonations.
Rule number one,
I can do one impersonation, Robert Irvine. You don't know how I want to kill him.
Wait. Was that an impersonation of you talking about Robert Irvine?
Yeah, that was
a ton of impersonations of me talking about shit.
That's right. Here's me talking about Mel Gibson. I want to kill him.
But Campana should be universally owned, right?
Nick, at this bring point? Us back. What were we talking about?
Campana should be universally owned, right?
Oh, Tony Campana. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
no. I think he's I think the problem is Brett Jackson's going to get called up around midseason, and Campana's going to go back to being a utility player. But while he's playing regularly, like, I think they might trade Soriano. They don't seem to trust Campana against the lefties, though. But yeah, I mean, right now he is a 300 hitter in the minors, like you said, and
330.
330.
Sorry. And he's got speed to, you know, I love the Sagnoff guys that can steal, you know, the 0-for-4s. Yeah, 0-for-4 and he still gets a steal. You gotta love that. Yeah. I mean, he's not even on base and he's stealing bases.
Yeah, we got him in labor. That 15 team went a week ago, right when he got called up for a dollar. We're deciding between him and Para. I wish we got both, because Para has been stealing a lot too.
Steals like the wind.
Para's just mad that they signed Kubel. He was like, he thought it was like Upton, Young, and Para. We're a trio, and they bring in Kubel, and now Para's like taking it out on the base paths.
So it's like the third member of Destiny's Child.
Spikes up. What?
Sorry, it was too urban of a reference for you, Rudy. I apologize.
I can go urban. Can I get a hit? Boom, bit with a brother named Tip, and we're ready to flip East Coast. And oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
All right, let's get back
to that. That didn't sound like Keith Urban.
steals like the wind.
All right, back to let's wrap up here with some bullpen stuff. So actually, I just want to go back quickly to the email from Alyssa in LA, big Dodger fan.
Oh my god!
No, she had two parts to the question. Don't make assumptions. We actually get lots of emails. We just haven't had time to work them into the show yet, but that'll be happening sooner. Anyway, she just brought up the fact that Kansas City...
we got an email from Corbin Burnson. Could you please not air that podcast?
So Alyssa writes, "Dear Fantasy Razzballers, Casey called up reliever Nate Adcock. Should I add cock? Should I add Adcock?
Oh God!
To my bullpen.
When someone says that guy's a dick, he takes it as a compliment. I don't even know what that means.
Okay, so bullpen stuff for real. Scott Downs is closing for the Los Angeles of whatever. Is he gonna last, or are they gonna go back to Walden?
Yeah. Well, the Angels.
You kind of have to blow a save first, though. You know.
I know the Angels are so pot committed; they're not even wasting time for blowing saves. They're like, we gotta change it. We're changing up. Pujols doesn't hit a home run. Scott Downs is now closing. What? It's a solution. Just shut up.
Yeah. You know why I think the Angels are doing so bad right now? They miss Jeff Mathis.
Yeah.
He was consistent. He was consistent behind the plate. He was consistent at the plate. You knew what you were going to get with Jeff Mathis.
Yeah, 200 OPS.
Okay. A lot of catching, no offense.
So let's do an over-under. Over-under 20 saves the rest of the season for Scott Downs. Gray?
Under.
Under. Under. Totally under.
Okay, so...
I'd go under 7.
Oh, really? Okay, let's do this. Which Angel winds up with the most saves at the end of the year? Gray.
Walden.
Rudy?
Walden.
Okay, fair enough.
Please.
Come on. That's the best question you have?
No, please, in that we have Walden in that casually. Oh.
Yeah, that please, too.
No, I'm not allowed.
And if Scott Downs actually gets saves, he's going to ruin our glossary term, the Scott Downs syndrome. Yeah. A good middle reliever doesn't get saves.
We can't go in and edit that glossary. Let's go.
Come on. How are we going to find someone else?
All right. Last question. And what I'll do, I'll throw this out as names. You can give me a yes or no. And what the question is now the time to flip closers who might be mid-season trade additions for contenders. So let me actually rephrase that. Do you think any of the following guys are going to be traded to a contender mid-season? Grant Balfour.
Yes. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Balfour. Yes, Gray?
Yes.
Rudy?
Yeah, everyone on the A's is for sale except Jamil Weeks.
Jim Johnson, Gray.
And Cepeda's. Jim Johnson will get traded. Rudy? Yeah. Houston Street will get traded. Brett Myers will get traded.
Broxton?
I don't know if Broxton will get traded.
I mean, if Casey's playing like they are now, I couldn't see why they wouldn't try to trade him.
Oh, they'd have to.
Yeah, maybe. He's not at the top of my list. Brett Myers.
And KC doesn't like to pay health care. So you don't want a guy like Broxton. He's like a heart attack waiting to happen.
he's not in good condition.
So between now and July 31st, at what point? So let's say give me a date between May 1st and July 31st when you should start looking to trade those guys who may get traded to contenders and become setup men.
Yeah, trade them right now.
Yeah. I think I'm always open to trade a closer as long as I've got that's why trying to grab closers and speculate on them off waivers is so great, because once you pick one up, you trade away someone else with better value. I mean, I think the challenge is Balfour, Jim Johnson, and Broxton all kind of are mediocre. You're not going to get I think the guys that you end up that have any trade value or guys like, I mean, who's the worst closer you'd actually accept in the trade, Gray? Like, it, as a value?
Kimbrel, Axford, Mariano.
Papelbon.
Papelbon.
Yeah, there's maybe the thing is, I mean, trading Balfour, it's like, you're going to get, like, the best you can get for Balfour is like a fifth outfielder.
Campana.
Yeah, I'd take Campbell.
Maybe like a Josh Reddick.
Steals like the wind.
Sagnoff. All right. Well, listen, Gray and Rudy.
That was the B side.
We gotta get someone with a real sultry voice to say Sagnoff.
Hey, maybe we can get Symphony of Nine, the Razzball Baseball Podcast.
We should have like sound bites that we could play every once in a while.
You know, we're actually working on that.
Really? Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, don't Don't give away the farm.
Maybe the next time we have like a guest, and if they have a good voice, we'll get them to we'll get them to lay down Saginaw.
Yeah. maybe we can get Mel Gibson and Dalvin Young to come on.
Give me back my steals.
I'm trying to get Jose Canseco on the show. All I can get right now is Ozzy. So
get him. All right. Hey, good right. podcast, Nick.
All right, another great
I've
show,
had
guys.
The time of my life.
Thanks so much, ladies and gentlemen.
Steals like the wind.
If you're listening to this and you haven't been to the website, get to razzball.com. Thanks to executive producer Scott Brown and the staff at Glenmore Records. If you ever need great recording studios in the city of Toronto, visit glenmorerecords.com. And a special thank you to Symphony of Nine for the greatest podcast intro song ever.
It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.